You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in a mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Hallelujah. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Sing with me, saints. Your grace abounds. Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours
and you are mine.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could. My faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you
fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
the saints. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness,
verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's continue to praise the greatness of our God.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great. restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
Praise him with us.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. Will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
It's your breath.
In our lungs.
In our lungs.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. In our lungs. So we pour.
Mighty, you are powerful, you are strong, God, you are holy. God, we thank you for this opportunity this morning that we're able to come into your house and worship you and praise your name forever. God, we just pray that your spirit would take hold of us and let us grow and praise you in all our days. God, we pray this in your great and holy name. Amen.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Do you mean it this morning? Come on.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Jesus.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour. It's your breath in our lungs, pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you, Jesus.
All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for leading us in that awesome and powerful time. All of our children can go with Miss Sue to our Children of God time. Everybody else, take out your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. If you really connected with the Lord in these last 25 minutes, like my heart did, I pray your heart connected with God like that. We have a small taste of what eternity with God is going to be like. And we're going to spend a lot of time in God's eternal kingdom doing spontaneous worship like that. Praise God. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then he said to me, "Write, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Don't do it, for I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." These are the words of God for the people of God. They're instructive for us in worship. Amen. A year ago, when we began our study in Revelation, I said, "I hope at the end of the study, which we're now approaching, that you will have learned at a very minimum three things about the book of Revelation. Number one," and you're probably tired of me hearing this, but I keep repeating it to drive it home, "Revelation is first and foremost about Jesus Christ. And if you forget everything else in Revelation, just get in your mind, Revelation is about who Jesus Christ is." Remember, the book starts out with these words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show the things that would soon take place." So this is, Revelation is 100% about Jesus Christ. And we have tried to point out in every chapter various places that Jesus shows up. Sometimes he's a king, sometimes he's a lamb, sometimes he's on the throne being worshipped. But we see various and many ways that we learn who Jesus Christ is. Secondly, and where the lion's share of the book is devoted to from chapters 6 through the end of chapter 18 is about the period of the tribulation and the great tribulation. So there's an end time events timeline that begins, Paul tells us, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 to 17, where Jesus Christ appears in the sky. All the living saints who know Jesus Christ as Savior rise to meet him in the air. All those who have died in Christ also get new resurrected bodies, and they go to heaven during the period of the tribulation. So believers are raptured from this earth. And then in chapters 6 to 19 is the story of God pouring out his wrath over that 7-year period. And as we learn through the series of the seal judgments, and then the trumpet judgments, and then the bowl judgments, the wrath of God increases in time and intensity over the 7-year period. But God's wrath comes to an end, as we learned last week in chapter 18. And as God deals then with the great harlot, and puts her, takes care of her false worship of false gods, ruins and destroys the economic powers of the world, it is ushering in the time for Christ to return, which we'll get to next week. I know we've all been looking forward to that. So God's wrath has been poured out on the earth. The time has been prepared for Christ to come back. And what happens in the middle of that? Right before Christ returns is these 10 verses that we've just read. And it's just the latest scene of worship in heaven. Because Revelation 3rd, the third thing that I want you to take you away from Revelation with, is that Revelation is about worship. We see continually in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6, chapter 7, almost every chapter there's scenes of worship going on in heaven. Even as God's wrath is being poured out over the earth, God's being worshipped in heaven for his righteous acts. So there's many, many, many instances in Revelation where exuberant praise just breaks forth, spontaneous. And that's the sense that I get as we just read these 10 verses in Revelation. As God's wrath is being poured out, as Babylon is dealt with, as the time is prepared for Christ to return, whole heaven just breaks out in praise because they know. They know what's coming next. And so what John records for us here in this section is heaven's response to God's wrath and the preparation for the return of Christ. Now in chapter 19, the scene returns to a significant event in heaven. Remember that a lot of the pictures in Revelation have been what's going on in earth as earthquakes and fire and all kinds of devastation happens over the earth. But now John is transported back into heaven. And the scene in these 10 verses is what John sees in heaven. Let's look at the words carefully. Verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he's judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her." This text just crackles with excitement, doesn't it? Of the power and the magnificence and the glory and the joy of God. And I don't know about you, but when we were worshiping God earlier, when we read these words, the hairs on the back of my neck literally stand up. I mean, talk about crackle with excitement, right? Like your whole body just vibrates it. And I want to encourage you, that the Lord reminded me of something this morning when we were singing that song, Holy Spirit, that is so powerful. And not just with that song, but with praise music in general. When you're facing something that feels like an insurmountable wall in front of you, When there is something that is just pressing in on you and you feel like you almost can't breathe, have you been there? And maybe that's even happened to you this week. I want to encourage you to put on praise music. And even if you don't have a great voice, even if you can't play an instrument, you're not musical, that doesn't matter. Just there is something powerful about just turning on music and letting the words flood your mind. I've told this story before, but I just feel so led by the Lord to share it again. That there are times in ministry when Heidi and I are called to work with people who are being oppressed and in some cases maybe even possessed by a demon. And there was one time in particular where we just couldn't break through. This demon was a very strong demon, and we had two pastors in the room with Heidi and me, and we were praying for this very young teenage girl, and the demons just wouldn't leave. And finally, one night, one of the prayer warriors that we had brought in with us literally put on that song, "Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place. Come fill the atmosphere." And as soon as the words of that song came on her phone, you know what happened? The demon left, right? So friends, when you're faced with that pressing in on you, when it feels overwhelming, like you can't take it anymore, turn on your computer, turn on your phone, wherever you can find, I don't care whether it's a hymn, whether it's content, whatever your favorite music is that draws you into God's presence, when you sing those songs and you can feel like you're in the Holy of Holies, put that music on and worship. And there is one thing that Satan hates. He hates worship of God, and he will flee. He will flee when you read his word, and he will flee when you're praising God without fail. Every person that we work with that is going through really difficult times and demonic oppression, when you do those two things, the demons will leave. Promise you. Sometimes not easily, but they will leave. So notice what's going on here in heaven. Remember what's happening during the tribulation? The Antichrist is empowered by Satan. The false prophet is doing all kinds of false miracles and deluding millions of people around the world. And they are worshiping the beast because of it. And now God's wrath has been poured out. Babylon is destroyed. The false religions of the world have been exposed, and God is dealing with them. And then praise breaks out. Why? Because the powers of Satan have been dealt with. And this is interesting. I couldn't believe this when I first started studying this week. I had to check it 10 times, and I rechecked it again this morning to make sure, because I would have gotten it wrong. How many times do you think the word hallelujah appears in the Bible? It appears 4 times. That's it. There's only 4 times in all of Scripture that the word hallelujah appears in the Bible. You know where all 4 of them are? In these 10 verses that we just read. The only time that the word hallelujah happens. Now, I'm going to show you some other instances in the Old Testament where the Hebrew word for hallelujah shows up, but it's not translated as hallelujah. It's translated as praise the Lord. Because hallel means to praise, and Yah is short for the Hebrew word for Yahweh or Lord, the covenant name of God for the nation of Israel. So hallelujah only appears 4 times in all of Scripture, and it's in these verses. It's instructive, isn't it? It's instructive for us to realize that the word hallelujah is used here in praise and reverence for God in this text. Heaven is crying out in praise of the Lord. Now, as I mentioned, the Hebrew word for hallelujah is used 23 times in the Old Testament. And it only occurs in the book of Psalms. So the Hebrew word, I won't embarrass myself with my Hebrew pronunciation, but the Hebrew word for hallelujah only used 23 times in the Old Testament, all of them in Psalms. I've got 5 of them on the screen here for you. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. In the company of the upright, in the assembly. Psalm 113, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Psalm 115, but as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. And the very last verse in the book of Psalms, which interestingly Jacob read earlier, and he didn't know I had this in the PowerPoint. The very last verse in the book of Psalms, the very last word in the book of Psalms is hallelujah, praise the Lord. So David's songbook, the instruction of us how to praise and sing worship to God, the very last word in that book is, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So why is heaven praising God? Why is heaven praising God in this beautiful scene in these 10 verses? First, the religious and economic powers of Babylon has been defeated, which we studied in previous weeks. Satan has been exposed. The beast and the false prophet and all their false schemes have been dealt with. And the harlot is dead. Secondly, Jesus Christ is about to return to earth. The saints in heaven, the angels, the elders around the throne, all the inhabitants of heaven, they know what's next. They cannot wait for Jesus to return. And they're crying out to God, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. God alone is the one who brings salvation, who saves us out of his wrath. And fourth, heaven is praising God because his justice has been carried out and retribution has been taken for the suffering and the persecution and the loss of life of so many saints over all the centuries. Some people, when they're going through really hard times, will say to me, Tom, I can't ask God why. I can't cry out to the Lord, how much longer? Why do I have to bear this, Lord? When will this intensity end? And this worship in heaven is answering that right here. When God's wrath is poured out, when Jesus is preparing to return to earth, justice will have been served then. And then people won't have to ask any longer, how long, Lord? When? How? We've studied it in detail through our study in Revelation. Remember the saints in chapter 6? They're crying out, Lord, how long? These are the martyred saints before the throne. They're saying, Lord, how much longer do we have to wait? God, when will there be justice? There's a great movement around our country right now about social justice, right? There will be no justice until God takes control. And when his justice is poured out, it will be perfect in that time. Verse 3. A second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. The crowd, the throng, the angels, they're crying out in worship of God along with the elders because God's justice has been brought. God's power that enacts the worldwide justice as he pours out his wrath. There's going to be no hiding from his power. Remember, as we've studied through it, people were trying to get into caves to escape the torture of the wrath. And there'll be no escape from it. And when God executes his judgment, those who will not bow in humility to recognize Jesus as the Savior will pay for it forever. That's the smoke of the torment that rises up forever and ever. And we'll talk about that when we get to chapter 20 in the last part, how God's justice ultimately is meted out eternally, not just during the tribulation, but there will be eternal consequences for those who have thumbed their nose at God for their lifetime. Verse 5, and a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. So the saints now join in with the angels and the elders who are before the throne. All of God's servants in heaven, they're invited to that heavenly chorus. And they all cry out together, hallelujah, for our Lord our God the Almighty reigns. How many of you have ever been to a live stadium concert? And the performer on stage, oftentimes, when it gets to some of their biggest hits, they'll get to the final chorus and they'll just drop the mic and let the crowd sing in their place. And as you listen to interviews of those performers on stage, it's one of the greatest tributes for them, because they realize that the crowd has internalized words that they wrote and have come to mean something deep to them. The scene in heaven that John is describing here is a lot like that. The saints of God are now all gathered together, and they unite their voices together. And they don't need a worship leader to lead them, because they just start and everybody is in chorus together because of the great power and presence of God. The awe, the humility, the grace, the joy, the union in worship. It's beautiful. And the saints and the angels and the beings are all praising God for his rule and reign and for the return of Christ, which is just about to happen. And when he returns, then he'll rule over this earth. How many of you have sung the Hallelujah Chorus by George Frideric Händel? If you don't know the whole musical Messiah or the whole oratorio, you've probably at least heard the 4 minute and 30 second Hallelujah Chorus as part of it. Well, the words of this well-loved oratorio, which we typically sing in the Christmas season that we've just come through, comes right out of the book of Revelation, verses 6 and 16. All the words come right out of Scripture. Hallelujah, they take it out of the King James Version, because that was the Bible that Handel would have had back in the 1700s. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and he has this on his vesture and on his thigh, the name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, when Handel was composing the Hallelujah Chorus, he said this, quote, "I did think that I saw all of heaven open before me, and the great God himself was seated on his throne with his company of angels." His friends that would bring him food and drink reported that during the writing of that time, Handel was so enraptured with what God was doing with him and through him, many times he couldn't even eat or drink because he was so overwhelmed with the power and presence of God. Many of us, when we sing that beloved chorus, Hallelujah, for the Lord God reigns, we get that same response as Handel. Verse 7, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are true words of God." And then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So John sees here a great supper or a great feast or a great dinner that is about to occur. All those who have trusted in Christ, who are his bride, will be prepared to return to earth. And as they return to earth, it's setting up the stage for the great wedding supper or the great marriage supper of the Lamb that will occur during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And there's a lot of speculation about this marriage supper of the Lamb. Chuck Swindoll writes, sort of tongue-in-cheek, "Is this going to be a literal banquet, or is it a symbolic one of indescribable blessing? Will this banquet be a sit-down, multi-course dinner on an extravagant buffet? What kind of food are we going to be served?" And then he says, "How silly." These questions tantalize the imagination, and they're fun to think about, but they completely miss the point. The great banquet, the great marriage supper is about one thing. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, right? The marriage supper of the Lamb is the bride of Christ, the church, having the opportunity to celebrate the reign and rule of Christ. The enemies will be defeated. No longer will there be anybody that can oppose Christ. And we don't know. This is the only text in Scripture that I've been able to find that tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We don't know if there'll be a literal banquet with food or if this is just symbolic in nature to talk about Christ's reign. Regardless, we're going to be so enraptured with the presence of Christ, I really think we're not going to care. Because Jesus is going to be there, right? So, man, friends, I hope this picture of Jesus, if you have not trusted him as your Savior, that this picture of Jesus, the reigning King, has grabbed your heart today. God is calling out to you to invite him to trust him. If you haven't trusted him, believe in him today. Receive from him the promise of eternal life. Ask him to cleanse you and take away all the horrible things that maybe you've done or thought or been part of your life, and God will wipe them away. That's the beauty of Scripture that promises us. As far as the east is the west, so far has Jesus taken our sins away from us. Trust him today. Receive from him the promise of everlasting life. Secondly, I want to encourage you and challenge you both this week to make a conscious effort to be praising the Lord. You may even want to sprinkle into your conversational life the word hallelujah. It's an important word, which means praise the Lord. Remember, we talked about that earlier. Use hallelujah as part of your prayers, as part of your vocabulary, to remind us of our joyous state as being saved. Because we're saved, our hearts just have to cry out, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Whatever you're facing this week, remember, the God who reigns on high is with you. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And there's no situation that's so big that the power of the Almighty Sovereign God can't walk through it with you. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the Lord God the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah for the Lord God the Almighty reigns. Say it with me, church. Hallelujah for the Lord God Almighty reigns. God, thank you for your power and your might. God, thank that you are sovereign over this whole world. And God, we know this world has so many troubles right now. There is so much going on in our world with the social unrest, with the political issues, with the virus. And those are just the tips of the iceberg, with other nations becoming nuclear armed. We could go on and on listing all the problems, and that's not the point. The point is, Lord, you are sovereign over all of those events and more powerful than any of them. And so, God, we thank you that you are reigning and ruling on high. And one day, there will be this great, great feast, this great reunion of your church, the bride, with Christ, who will celebrate and worship and rejoice and cry out great praises to you. So, Lord, until then, tune our hearts to that, God. Whatever we face, put a song in our heart as those maybe huge mountains in front of us. Let us sing through them and praise you through whatever happens, knowing, God, that you are omnipotent and all-powerful and that you reign and rule over all. God, thank you that you've taken our sins from us as we confess them. And we do that now, Lord, taking moments to realize this week that we have not obeyed you perfectly. We failed you seriously in many ways this week. And so, Lord, we ask for for healing and forgiveness from those things. And we pray for your power to strengthen us in the times of temptation that come to all of us this week. You taught us to pray saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So God, I pray for all of us this week that you would take us from those times of temptation and deliver us from them and through them. And now, God, we turn our attention to lift up a number of intercessory needs, people that are in our church and our community are in need of your touch. Lord, hear our prayers as our elder Jeff comes to pray for them just now.